I welcome you with all my heart. I hope you're all well. We'll talk about that later. Yesterday I had three new students come to the house. And they came in at noon. We held hands and felt the energies. While the chanting was playing, I told them to look for the I am inside of themselves. Usually around the heart is where it's first perceived, or behind the eyes, the third eye. For 45 minutes we did that, off and on, holding hands, looking into our hearts for the sense of I am. Usually it's felt by people that haven't felt it before, as a stirring of energy in the heart. Now, the two men had never done self-inquiry like that before. They had done it Robert's way of asking, who am I? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? Who feels this? Who feels that? Which can be strictly mental, and it can usually just lead you into emptiness. But by pointedly feeling for the I am, instead of looking for the I am, and feeling it as a tingling for the first time around the heart, both of the men felt it for the first time. And with it, they felt pain in their heart, like there was a pressure there. And we all know this. It's when the energy is building up and there's a blockage in the heart. And energy goes into the heart that starts expanding, and the pressure of that energy is looking for a way out, and it keeps blowing up the heart until it feels extremely painful and wants to explode, and then whatever the resistance is dissolves and it flows through, and there's such relief. But the woman, Abigail, she felt the energy in her heart immediately and saw it as a blue light. A blue light that was turning clockwise. And then she felt the energy flowing throughout her body, flowing up into her arms and out her hands, into her head and out, and from her chest outwards to all of us as love. And she felt the energy throughout her entire body. And we held hands again, and we passed the energy around. And the men felt it more strongly. One of them began feeling it throughout his whole body. And he said, I didn't know this was possible. I didn't know this was possible. I didn't know this was possible. The other man said, his fiancée, Ruth, was telling him exactly this. And he had to come to me to hear this. That what drives spirituality most quickly and assuredly is love and the bliss that it generates. Not the kind of self-inquiry that Robert used, not the self-inquiry that Ramana used. Remember, neither of these guys ever practice self-inquiry. They were spontaneously enlightened. So they picked up other people's practices and offered those as to get to where they got. But they never used them themselves. On the other hand, Isagadatta did. And he advised looking for the I am as baby Krishna, to nurture it, to love it, to welcome it, to accept it, to expand it, to play with it, until it becomes Krishna consciousness. So shall we all do that now? Close our eyes. Look inside for that sense of self. Some of you, I'm sure, have already strongly developed a sense of self and feel it as a sense of presence throughout your entire being that interpenetrates your body as well as the space around you. But some of you barely know how to find your heart, how to find your I am in the heart, in the heart area of the heart. So I ask you to look inside your heart. What do you see? Do you see darkness? Do you see emptiness? Do you see an expanse of space lit by light that contains your subjectivity, all the inner ideation and thoughts? What do you see when you look inside yourself? The trick is, and Robert says, never is a moment wasted of turning your attention inside of yourself. It's all meditation. Turn your attention inside. That's all you have to do. Finding the heart and the I am is just a focused way of doing it. Practicing the normal way of self-inquiry, who am I, is just a way to access the inner emptiness. And the trick is just to be inward. For up till now, many of you have always been outward, searching in the world, searching for God in the world, searching for truth in books. But the only book you should read is yourself. So looking into your own heart, do you feel the I am? Do you feel your sense of self? That's beyond words, beyond mind. Now you can see it, like the woman did, as a blue light or a gold light or a white light circulating in patterns. Or you can feel it as energy or as love or some combination thereof. So when you look into the area of your heart, if you are not already well aware of the I am sensation, what does it look like and feel like? In other words, you're using two senses, your inner subjective vision. You might call it imagination, though it's not. It can be, but sometimes it's a direct intuition. And you're using the sense of feeling. Feeling inside your heart area to find what you feel. What is the quality of the space there on a feeling basis? Is it just empty? Or are there other qualities such as love, compassion? Is there physical pressure? Is there moving energy and patterns? Like I used to see it at first as energy rising like a river, 6 inches wide, 8 inches wide, from my bottom butt, rising up into my gut and into my heart, and then stopping for a time in the heart and filling the heart up, and then going out my hands, my fingers into the external world, the rest of it flowing up into my head and outwards to the above after drilling a hole in the head, in the skull. And a lot of you feel that. I think Chris was talking about it last week. A hole being drilled in the top of his skull. Then it goes out the face and it goes out the heart. And I asked them to have it directed directly through the heart to the other people in the room. Some said that they felt the sharing and some didn't. But all felt at least the beginnings of self. And I'm so thankful that there is a much easier way to do it than the way Robert Adams offered, or Ramana, of just asking, who am I? who is it that feels this? Who is it that feels that? Who is it that sees this? Who is it that's confused? Who is it that feels terror? Who is it that feels love? And instead, you look for the eye sense, which is hard to find for some at the beginning, but I think in women, it's a lot easier to find. I know some of the women out there, of you women out there, not the women, will personalize it, feel these energies very strongly. Their whole life is around energies and love, service and devotion. It's the hard-ass guys like me and you, other guys, Matthew, Enrique, Rick, Max, that have a tough time getting into that feeling part of our beingness. It's just not programmed that way. It's work for us. Some men, however, being artists, it's not work for them. They tend to have a very feminine outlook, way of being in the world, and for them, going into the emptiness, going into the absolute is what they want, because it gets them away from being overwhelmed by feelings. Their ideal is to be like Robert, without feelings, without attachment to the world, being entirely beyond the world. Others, for like me, know you guys who have been lost in the emptiness, have been lost in nothingness, lost in the void, lost in being the witness in the absolute. And we know we want our life back. We want our child energy back, of being new, of being energetic, of being grounded in emotions, in sentience. And when you really know the self, you become totally alive. Every corpuscle of your body is alive, and you can feel it. You can feel the energies moving throughout your body. You can feel your muscle tension throughout your body, or the lack thereof. You feel your breath. You feel your fingers. You feel your toes. You feel your thighs. You feel where you touch the furniture, where you touch the floor. You're wired and alive. Imagine that magnified 10 times. So every moment, the current, the energy, the bliss, the love is so strong, you're barely aware of yourself. You're aware only of the energies. Some people get this feeling with Shaktipat, whereby the grace of the Guru, the Kundalini is awakened. The feeling of Shakti becomes everything of the energies in and around you in the world, which automatically takes care of your practice. Because the energies are so binding, so extraordinary, so awesome, that your attention is fixed on them all the time, without fail. You don't have to work at it. They grab you, just like Ramana said. After he had the experience of pretending to die and finding out he was still alive when he pretended the body was dead, he felt the full force of his beingness pouring forth. And evermore, after that time, he could never take his eyes off of his self. And that's what I ask you to do. Feel that energy growing within you. Feel that love growing within you. Feel the love of another human that you love very much. Fixate on that person. Love that person. Develop the devotion inside of you. Develop the humility inside of you. Develop the neediness inside of you to need that person. to feel your helplessness without that person. It's a kind of regression you have to go to. Be like a little baby. No power, no independence. Just neediness of God, neediness of love, neediness of resting in the presence of your beloved, where you're held and nurtured and cared for. And you become a little baby again, sinking into the divine love of God and of your own self. This is unlike anything that Ramana would tell you, or Robert, or even probably Nisargadatta. But I've been finding it's more and more the philosophy of the Guru Bhakti traditions, where love is everything. I know the Raja Yoga people, the Kundalini people, the Shakti people, do the same thing with those inner energies that I do with love, which is to have love, or to have the energies, take over your spiritual practice. The Shakti moves through you and grows and changes and takes you, the little you, along with it, and gradually robs the you of any identification so that you become nothingness. The love will do the same. It'll make you nothing. When you love the other, you disappear. The other becomes the focus of everything. Love of the other, surrender to the other, devotion to the other, work for the other, karma yoga. Work your fingers to the bone. Work your bank account to nothingness. Use your physical work to drain your body of energy. And at the end of the day, you rest knowing you did some good. But karma yoga is so, so very slow. Could take many lifetimes, if that's the truth at all about karma. I doubt it. But love, or following the energies, or doing self-inquiry with love, are very, very rapid ways. And once the energies are kindled, the fire of the heart is kindled, and you feel yourself alive inside of your body, inside of your sense of presence. And you keep going back and feeling that heart's fire. It grows in intensity and in extent. Colors are added, and all kinds of experiences follow. Humility, surrender, devotion, love, service, all of these things develop. After self-realization experience, then you're aware of the I am all the time, or you might say the sense of self all the time. The I am becomes, actually the I am gets transmuted by everybody over a period of time. Just by paying attention to that energy in the heart, it grows and grows and grows, and your inner emptiness becomes lighter and filled with light and beingness and colors and all different kinds of things it can be. Until you can say it's something entirely different. It's like there's a ghost inside of you, the Holy Ghost that you are. It entirely permeates the body, your body, and it extends beyond the body, and energies flow through it rather than your body. And you can actually feel the difference. So you break the connection with the body and you recognize yourself as this being, this subtle body. And that's your first break with the body. And you can feel that sense of presence all the time. You can feel that I am all the time, and it permeates everything in you. Your emotions, it's your feeling, sensing your body, feeling the energies inside of you, the emptiness inside of you. It's all permeated by the eye sense. It's eye sense is everywhere, until it gradually extends into the world, because The I sense is just not only personal, belonging to Enrique, but the I sense is also belongs to God. And God is everywhere. And by God, I mean the external world. I mean the manifest world of phenomena. Everything in the external world emanates from you, really, from your emptiness, from your noumena, including the big I of God, or the divine, and the small I of Enrique. Both emanate from the first source, the same source, the gigantic Shakti, or Kundalini, or the goddess Kali, or Mother Kali, whatever you want to give the name. You can feel the energy behind you, and in a sense, propelling you and serving you at the same time. It's taking care of you. The little I doesn't have to do much. It just can be just taken care of. Although the little I may have a lot of action still left inside of it to be done. And the big I, God, works with the little I like father and son, like mother and daughter, like parent and child, in order to enable that child to act in the world in the way that the Shakti wants you to act. And there is a sense of identity still of being Enrique or being Ed Music or being Sylviana as a human in the world with a body and a mind and a position in space and time. And with a felt sense that we should be doing something, whatever it is that comes up spontaneously and we do something without thinking about it, because you might say that's our dharma, which is different from our karma. Our dharma means our truth as manifested in your body mind, Enrique's body mind, or Rick's, or Matthew's, or Ed's, or Sylviana's, or Dia's, or Michael's, or Mark's, or Justin's. We each have our own destiny, you might say. It's not 100% like Robert says, I don't believe that, where everything is fixed and you don't have to do anything. There's always choices. And the choice may only appear to be real, or it may be totally unreal. It doesn't matter. The questioning, that kind of questioning, is it real or do we have predetermination? That's an emotional thing. When you say predetermined, it's really to relax you so you don't feel as if you have to make all those decisions for yourself that God is guiding you. But I think it's more complicated than that. I think it's God and me working together. It's God and Enrique working together, God and Matthew working together to co-create our reality. You're not just a powerless entity that's following some path and some fixed destiny where it determines how many times you wash your teeth per day and it decides everything like that. That's too pat, that's too fixed, that it's too rigid. I don't think life is like that. It's far too flowing to be so fixed. One of my students talks about seeing upriver or downriver, the events that take place in the future. And not all of them are fixed because there's a flow. And the flow is not 100% deterministic. The general order of things can be made out, but the order they're happening in or the magnitude is never clear from where we are now, because things are always flowing and changing. And the little one can never understand this. Only the big one probably doesn't understand it either and just works it out, just goes and goes, and we see what happens. I don't think there's a divine plan. There's an unfolding. Unfolding of that which knows the way, and by that it knows its own dharma, its own truth. And we will know our own dharma and our own truth once we become self-realized. Once our self is fully aware to ourself of who and what we are, and then we naturally act out our own dharma, our own truth, our own destiny, our own way. And it's perfect. There's the sense that I could never have done anything differently than I did. Not that that it was fixed, but because that was my truth. Does that make sense? The difference between karma and dharma. Somebody else was asking a question. Didn't I hear somebody else asking a question? Dharma and Karma, the two Arma twins. I saw where that question was before. Somebody said that he has felt a pressure in his heart all of his life. And often, especially once you're on the spiritual track, it's the kundalini being trapped in the heart chakra, trying to penetrate through the heart chakra and finding some sort of blockage there in the area of love, the area of intuition. And you can practice kundalini practices. You can look them up on the internet, ways to get the energy through your heart, or you can fall in love, and then all of that stuff happens to you automatically. But let me talk about that. I mean, allow it to build. Matter of fact, you can force the energy, increase the energy into the heart by just feeling that energy in the heart over and over again, intensely focus on it. That energy will grow, and the sense of pressure will grow until finally something breaks. But I wanted to change the subject somewhat to that of relationships, because over and over again I suggest that being in love with someone or the guru or a cat is the way to advance the spiritual progress you could make by leaps and bounds in a very short period of time. And a lot of you are in relationships. And I asked the man yesterday who took us to Follow Your Heart to Eat whether he was madly, insanely in love with his girlfriend. He says, yeah, I'm in love, but no, not insanely, not passionately, that passionately. So I told him the secret. I said, separate a little. Go to different parts of the house and talk to each other on Skype or by phone. Talk to her about what's going on inside of you in terms of not feelings, although that will arise, but energies and love. Tell her you love her. And she, I love you. Say how you feel the love. Does it have a color inside of you? Is there energy? Is there light? Tell her how you love her. And she says the same to you. Whether you can feel her and her love directed towards you through her heart, ask her to feel to love you. And in your own heart, see if you can feel it and receive it. And describe your love for her as well as you can. I feel it like an energy rising from my gut, rising into my heart, filling my heart with bliss. And there's a pressure there too, and it grows and it grows. And I feel powerful energies moving in my body, upwards, into the spine, into the heart, and from the heart upwards into my throat, and into my mouth, and into my head. And it's a white light. At the same time, I feel it a little drilling at the top of my skull, where the energy is trying to burn its way through my skull. And at the same time, I feel so needy of you. I love you so much. I don't think I could live without you. Your support, your comfort, your love. I think of you all the time. All day long, you're on my mind. I feel lonely without your presence. I feel empty without your presence. Sometimes I think I couldn't survive without your presence. And as I'm saying this, I feel all melted inside. I feel humble. I feel frightened that I might lose you. I fear I might die if you were to leave me. I feel very small and vulnerable, and I need you. Please don't run. And then she says something back to you similarly. Does your expression of your neediness make her feel like she wants to run? Or does she feel more comfortable and secure in your relationship because you need her as much as she needs you? And that mutual neediness means that you'll stay together. Because for the first time you have somebody that loves you that's not running. And you love her and you're not running. And both of you are expressing these big emotions of running, or of fear, or of neediness, and how neediness is attachment, and attachment is bad because it leads to pain, and everybody that I've loved deeply has always left me before by death, or by dumping me, or I dump them, because I can't tolerate the strength of the feelings. One woman I was Skyping with was saying she can't find a man that loves as deeply as she can. She gives so much that she's not there for herself. And she just gives and gives, and this is something she can't control. So now she's looking for a woman for love and companionship. And I told her the truth, and she recognized it as the truth. When the feelings of love got big, she has a tendency to run into another relationship and to establish other male friends. And she says, I feel free as a gypsy to be able to come and go as I want and not feel tied down, to be able to not feel this neediness and not feel that person needs me to stay there, but I want to feel free. Well, it's called a commitment problem. She's afraid to let go and surrender. She's afraid of the hugeness of the feelings. So she's always looking for a way out. Most people are this way. They're always looking for a way out or for somebody better. They can't commit because of fear of past relationships. The thing is, we all grow up over a period of time, and we know what kind of relationships are good for us and what are not our old pattern. And by the time we're 40, we're making choices, and we can make choices and see what we should, as opposed to falling into old patterns where the deepest kind of love will hit us, that will take us all the way to God, the love that is so deep it'll destroy us personally, wipe us out personally, and become divine love. The love that I keep talking about, where you feel so humble and so overwhelmed by your love for the other, you just fall to your knees and want to be dust underneath their feet. Total humility, total surrender. Now, it's easy for a dead guru. It's a lot harder for somebody in your real life, where they might die, they might get old and sick, or you might die and get old and sick, or they might tire of you, of your insanity and your stupidity and your miserable life's way of expressing yourself. But sometimes you find somebody that's strong enough to deal with your imperfections and with your neediness. And you don't fight neediness anymore. You embrace the neediness and say, yay, I will become as a babe. I will become as a baby, small and needy. And in that loving, and in that babiness, and in that loving, I'll receive that which I never had before. the kind of nurturing and the mutual love that allow me to grow up strong, mature. And you know it inside of you. You know this is the case. But many of you still run anyway. You'd rather run and not risk it and wait for it to happen again or a little less fearfully next time. Does this sound familiar? So, practice talking to each other over Skype or telephone. Talk your heart out without their physical presence so that you can be inside of yourself as opposed to being inside of them and engulfed in their sense of presence, their physicality. And tell them the ways you love them and the ways you fear them. Tell them of how you feel love inside of your body. Tell them what colors it has, what forms it takes, what energy it manifests as. Radiate your love through your heart or through your fingers and your hands and see if they can feel it. See if you can become telepathic. See if you can reach that kind of unification and mutual touching through the heart. I guarantee you that a mild form of love will become at least a moderate and maybe a heavy form of love by doing this kind of inner exploration with your beloved at a distance. This is a new avenue for exploring love between you and other people, or your guru even, you can express it safely, or your psychologist, your psychotherapist. Because psychotherapy really advances when you love your therapist deeply and you can do those transferences that you had as an infant with your parents. That's a good therapist. There are a lot of bad therapists around. Are there any questions? This is a heavy one I laid out to you. I'm going to go into it more later. I'm going to go into the sexual aspects later. How you can use sexuality to build it and to energize your body and get the Shakti flowing more deeply and restrain it and play with it to cuddle yourself all the time and to use the energies of sexuality for spiritual growth. That's another time. Human love is the most precious thing that we can have. And it's our love. When I love someone, it's my love. It's my love. I become love. And when I become love, that's one step from becoming the self or realizing the self. I don't love that person any less. I love them more because I see the self of all in them. They reflect my own self. And in the most easiest and the quickest way, I realize myself through loving another. She says there's no one to awaken. Well, you haven't seen yourself. You haven't been self-realized to say that. It's not that there's someone or something to awaken. You're always awake. It's just that you lose those concepts to think that you're limited in the world. You're an isolated individual. In fact, you're all of consciousness. I love you all. I'll see you next week.